The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
We're still going to end early, but I was kind of thinking of a nice way to end, which is one of the chaplaincy roles and skills and concerns that chaplains think about. How do we bring something to an end? You don't just suddenly, in the middle of talking about some of their deepest things in their life, and then just like you can look at your watch and say, I've got to go. You know, and just turn around and jump out. The ending is actually quite important. So I think for us here, as here in a kind of chaplaincy event, you know, it's kind of a chaplaincy for all of us. I mean, what we're touching into and relating to here in ourselves, and what we're doing with bringing such a deep part of ourselves to something so deep in other people, it's tender. It's like we're being worked as well, doing this kind of work and this training. And so it seems appropriate to take the big picture into account and where we're at and how it's been today and the energies of the flow and how the day went. Well, what would be a nice way to bring this to an end? So that was, so I called up Jennifer to chat with her and I had an idea. So just demonstrating to you that this kind of care is an important part of this role. And whether we've figured out what to do that's good for this, that we don't know, but best of our judgment, we have an idea. And that is to just mark the fact that we're, depending how, you know, in the vagaries of time, and the bigness of time or something, that we're kind of like halfway over finishing today. You can argue it's not quite yet or something, but it's kind of like. And it seemed like one way to kind of gather the day together, kind of hold it all, kind of bring it to a nice way and being together as a community and connected and reviewing what's happened and all that, just kind of seems like a nice kind of completion for the day, is for you to go into groups of maybe three or four and share with your fellow chaplaincy students, trainees, what has opened for you? What has inspired you in the course of this program so far? Has something new opened, like you didn't really know about what chaplaincy was, and some part of it opened or inspired you or kind of opened a new vista, perspective on life or what you might do with yourself? Or so something like that. So what has opened for you? What has inspired you? And then the second question is to ask, mention something about, it doesn't have to be, you know, the most deepest, brilliant answer. Just what seems nice to share at this point. But what do you want to give yourself to? What do you want to put effort into for the second half of this training? So not what you're going to get from, what more do you want to get from the program, which is a nice question, but actually what you're going to offer to yourself in the training and how you're going to train, and what are you inspired to kind of, how are you inspired to bring yourself a little more fully into this training? And that can be a wide, wide range of things. So just, is that, make sense, those two? So perhaps in your little group, you can go around once and talk about the first one. Second time, talk about the second one. If there's more time, then you can just have a little open conversation and just be cozy with each other, maybe. And so we have three of you on Zoom, so I'll put you in a breakout group. And then, and here, if you can self-organize, would you want to self-organize? So it seems like it was a little awkward before. Should we do it by numbers? Just count off.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think what we're looking for is four groups, and so how many? There's 11 people here, and if you do four groups. Well, then it's one group of two. So if you do three groups, let's do three groups. And they're a little bit big, but I think it's some of them. But let's, so, say, so put up your finger and find your finger people. And then I'll so as okay, so let's see how long. Okay, so here you go to your group.
Everyone, and we're going to do two more things before ending. One is just to review what that was like, and then to do a little closing ceremony here. And the review part is to learn from this experience. I told you the purpose for this at the beginning, in order to bring the day to a nice conclusion and to honor the day, bring it to a did this fulfill the function? Did this do what you were trying to do? And what did you learn from this? Did you learn what to do, how to think about it, or how you could have done it better, or any comments about stepping back, you know, as a learning experience, absent reflection, you know, reflecting on this exercise. Anything you'd like to say about it, how it works?
I think it works particularly well, especially spaced out like this at a halfway point when we've had time to digest and think about what's happened thus far. And also, a lot of the learning for me is from the cohort, so hearing what they're working on and what they'd like to do further is really helpful for me, because the people here have actually helped define chaplaincy also. Even,
I thought the exercise worked well. There was a fatal flaw in me in that in the first part, I heard, like, what's the one thing you, like, have taken away from today? I was like, oh, God, what's a good answer? Instead of, like, what's the one that, like, sticks with me? So, like, I don't know if anyone else had that problem, but I feel like being asked, like, okay, you've gone through all of this. It's all, like, meaningful and important. Like, what's the one thing? Yeah, and then the second one, I really liked that you framed it in terms of, like, what are you going to, like, give yourself to? Because it's, like, especially being reminded that this is the second half of this program, it's like, this is it. Like, you're time limited here. Like, what are you going to do? And how can you, yeah, how can you, like, go beyond your, I heard this phrase from, like, Tara Brach, like, how can you, like, meet your edge and then soften and, like, be able to, like, go past where you're, yeah.
Great, thank you. And now, online, do you have anything you would like to say? see.
I have long thought of myself as a thoughtful person, but when I came to learning about, excuse me, reflection, I realized it was a different world. And I'm sorry, I got a message. Thank you for that.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Conrad?
I'm not going to use the right word here, but I enjoyed the activity and hearing other people kind of declaim or pronounce, like, this is kind of what's worked on me, and kind of saying it publicly was a very nice affirming ritual, and then kind of committing to the group, this is where I'm going next or how I'm orienting my heart. Uh-huh. And that was just nice to do publicly.
Great, wonderful. So that was nice. So that exercise, hopefully my primary intention was to bring the day to a nice conclusion, but it had this other function of marking the halfway point. And we could have not marked it, but there's something about marking these things, it's almost like a little ritual, that makes it more conscious and more intentional and pulls out more value, more engagement with the process you're in, that I think is an important thing to do, a valuable thing to do. And so those are two of the functions. What is a third function? It just brought you together more. Someone said that you heard from the other cohort to learn from them. So there was a learning process of learning from each other. There was any other functions for that served? Yes.
I think sometimes doing these exercises will inherently bubble up the ones which are sort of hidden, at least in my own case, that, okay, this is my assumption about other people. And, you know, so when I hear, you know, their intentions, their goals, then I feel that, okay, I'm also on the right path. I'm not the only one who's kind of dreaming in the imaginary world. So
great. And then one more thing, function I'd like to name, is that there's a particular kind of attention, a way of attending to other people that you do in these kinds of exercises that might be very different than how you attend to most situations in life and most social relationships. And but that's this way of attending, of bringing your attention, your care, is directly kind of what's needed for a chaplaincy. So you're also training in the kind of attention that we give and the care we give and the topics we're concerned with and the way of talking about things which are important in a particular way. So hopefully these things have, you know, to have multiple functions, and there's probably more, and some of the functions of something like this is individual to each of you. You have your own things you're working on and finding your way with. So what I just did now in part was a demonstration of action reflection. We did something, and now we reflect on it, learn from it. So great. So we're going to do a closing circle. So for this, we'll see how we can do this. I think that what we'll do is stand in a circle. And for that, I think we're going to turn off the video here, because otherwise I think that, well, it doesn't matter that much, but I don't think we need it. But, and we have to sit, make this camera, this part of our circle. So, and maybe what I could do, how do we do this? Now, maybe this should come up in here too as part of the circle. That's how it should be. And so let's stand and figure this out. I'm kind of super wired, so I can't do much.
Yeah.
Okay. So and maybe we do the Let's see. So there's a saying in Buddhism that goes something like, when in doubt, bow. And I think it's actually a very significant and wonderful saying. There's something very profound about bowing that I did not know when I first started in Buddhism, but because I was living in monasteries and other places where we did a lot of bowing, slowly I realized that bowing expresses something. In fact, you probably have you can have a dictionary of all the things that bowing expresses. And sometimes they're not good. At that Tassajara, people would bow to each other when they serve their servers come and give you food in your bowl in the meditation hall. And there's so much communication that goes on and how deep they bow. That person didn't bow very far. that person's still holding the resentment or anger at what happened, you know. So much is communicated. But it's a profound thing, and I loved what it expressed for me. The two primary things it expresses for me is gratitude and appreciation. There's also softening. I saw that because I did it so much in the monasteries, I saw that very slowly, it actually changed me by it. And the way I saw it most clearly was after almost 3 years in the monastery, I left and I was walking down the street. In the monastery, we had to bow to everyone when we passed them in the walkway. So that led to this, sometimes the phenomena of people would see someone coming down that way, and so they'd go around the building to avoid having to bow. But it is, you're always bowing. And it was very meaningful to me to do this. So I left the monastery, and I was walking down College Avenue in Berkeley, and there were all these people walking down the sidewalk, and like I couldn't bow to them. I mean, they were strangers, but I wanted to bow. And then luckily, I saw across the street, down the street in College Avenue, someone had been to Tassajara that summer. So I ran after her and said, wait, can I bow to you? I just needed to bow. So anyway, bowing is a wonderful thing to do. So it's part of our Buddhist tradition, and it's also a way of saying goodbye. And different teachers will see the bow as being symbolic of different things. The hands coming together mutually. Or one of my favorite is from Thich Nhat Hanh, apparently, is you don't actually make, in Zen, you keep them flat together. Oneness, maybe. But not one, not two. But you kind of keep it a little bit open. And it's so when you bow, it's your heart that's spilling out to others. So I kind of like that a little bit. So there's all these different ways of bowing. So what I thought we would do is go around the circle. And this is where maybe what you do is you come and stand. What if you come and stand right here, then all of us can see it, and Clarence has to step aside a little bit, so that the camera, where the blue tape is the camera, and so let's see. No, is that working?
The camera's there now.
Oh, I zoomed out. So this is where am I?
You're on the far right side.
That's
this one.
Oh, because I did hide self view.
Yeah.
So let me put. Let me reappear.
It's non-self, not hide self.
That's right. We can see Gil.
You can see me, yes. But here now. Yeah, now, okay. So why don't you come stand here, and then we'll do the people online last, because it's easier. And so why don't you come here and show us how you would bow from your Buddhist tradition, from your way, from your culture. And there's no wrong. And so let's go around and each of us bow to the group. Yeah. And then we bow back. Let them bow fully, and then we bow back, so because we want to kind of take in how they do it. In the order in which I see you, Sharon, can you start? And Letissa? And AJ? And Jennifer. And I'll go. Thank you. So there's another saying about bowing. Someone asks you, what is Buddhism? And you say, always ready to bow. So, of course, bowing isn't always the right thing to do if you're culturally sensitive, but it's a wonderful thing to do and be ready to do and to have some feeling for it. And if you encounter people of a Dharmic background, Asian background, Indian background, bowing in some way or other is a big part of the culture. And it was for me growing up in Europe. And maybe it was a little bit strange the way we did it, but I grew up with a sense that if you respected someone, you would bow to them. And not only that, but back then, maybe it's military-like or something, but you'd actually click your heels together, you know. And And I was a little kid, I would do that. And I felt so good. I felt like I was respecting people. And so thank you very much for today. And I appreciate it very much. We had our time together. Next time we'll see each other at the retreat center. So travel safely. I checked the traffic. It looks like right now the traffic is fairly good, except for a little bit right here, but it's not terrible. And it looks like it's not raining. I checked as far as Whitaker. So it looks like locally we're good until 10 p.m. tonight. So drive safely, and thank you for coming today.